And the title of this message is God's Perfect Will. God's Perfect Will. I'm going to make some statements that I have several times because they're so important. God has set up prophets, and prophets work in a realm that's unknown to the natural man. And so what I have said before is that the real prophet says, "Hear the word of the Lord," while the false prophets say, "Hear the words of men." And men hated the real prophets of old because they would not tell them what they wanted to hear. And so it is today. I mean, I've been there and I've done that. I watched as someone only wanted the prophets to support what they were sure was the truth. However, in the end of the matter, it showed that what they believed maybe contained some truth, but for the most part, it was not the truth. However, for the most part, in fact, if a prophet would have spoken the truth, they would have probably disfellowshipped him from the church. Faith only comes when and if men believe God. And faith only comes when and if men believe the Bible is God's word of truth. And so faith only comes when and if men believe God's word and not the word private interpretations of men. And if you keep on listening to God's word, that is called faith. I begin to recognize that just lately. I mean, I have over the years, but I thought, why do people continually listen to God's word? It's faith. If you don't have faith, you won't do it. It takes faith to listen to a word that you don't have to see the author, an invisible author. You know what I mean? And so God's word is set up by God in just such a way so that men can deceive themselves through it. You can deceive, if you want to be deceived, you can deceive yourself through it. Or they can turn to God for a real love for God's truth and with a little childlike approach to the and be led and guided by the Holy Spirit into real truth. I saw somebody today. We went out for Chuck's birthday, and we haven't been anywhere for a few weeks. And anyway, we went out, and somebody that I've known for years, and we were instrumental in their salvation, and they go to a church someplace, and there was a whole church group, and most of those people they go to church because of us, and this indirectly, but anyway, but they have avoided us, and so. But today, one of the people that we know real well came over and just talked and talked and talked and talked, and I thought, and I have to be careful lest they hear this because there's a good chance they will, and I realize that there are people that are listening that we don't know about, and they're not really too brave to tell anybody that they are. But anyway, this individual's father-in-law, the man, his father-in-law, used to come when we had deliverance in the church. And he used to tell me this strange, strange thing, this doctrine. He says, I don't believe that there is such a thing as a Trinity. And this what strange oneness that we have today, I can't go along with it. He says, I believe there's some others too. And anyway, I thought, now, he would come we have deliverance at the church, and he would come and he'd share this with me. And I thought, if he shared it with me, didn't he share it with his kids and with their mates? You know what I mean? Didn't he share it with them as well? And so, anyway, he was real friendly today. This reminded me. This will be next. And so, anyway, I thought he was extra friendly. And I'm thinking, I bet you that he had enough of this planet in his system back at some point. That I'm wondering if he's not beginning to doubt his own church doctrine. The Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, then the people mourn. This is in Proverbs 29:2. And, there's another thing that this had something to do with our situation. There's a scripture in Proverbs 29:21. I just happen to see all of these. And it says, when you delicately bring up a boy from his youth, you shall have him to become your son at the length of days or in the end of time. And I thought, And then one more thing. In John 7, verse 5, it says about Jesus, it says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. And yet I thought he was the Word made flesh. He was a walking demonstration or expression of God's Word. He only spoke the truth, and yet his brethren didn't believe in him. But at a later date they did. We know that from the book of Acts. Okay, God's perfect will. If we could understand this, whatever God has ever done or is now doing, whatever he has ever done is or ever will do is the perfect way for it to be done. Are you following me? Whatever God has ever done or ever will do or is doing now is perfect. And so we get concerned about this upcoming election, and everybody is, including me. And yet, whatever God does is right. And even though we vote, now a lot of people don't know that, and they get really dogmatic about how to vote and so forth. However we vote is because God has put within the people the way that he wants them to vote. And he wants this thing to come out his way, and it will. He will put in office who he wants. And so when God tells us that his ways and his thoughts are higher than our ways, and as high as the earth is, or the heavens are above the earth, then my question is, how high exactly is that? Since every time we look with a new telescope, we see more and greater distances and see greater more heavens. See, when that understanding finally begins to register within us, then we are able to say, I am finally beginning to know the Lord. Until we know the difference, somebody made that statement this morning, was it Corky maybe? We're starting to understand the greatness of God and just who we are. And we're not that much. I want to give us a little bit of a credit, but we're not really that much. We like the grass that withers and the flower that fades, and we're here today and gone tomorrow, and live for a short time, and we know it, but in 60 years, we know everything there is. We are so awesome. And so what a shame it is, and of course I'm teasing, what a shame it is when men blindly buy into inheritance doctrines. Oh, let that register. What a shame that it is when men blindly buy into inherited doctrines that the devil has slowly planted within their forefathers until the true knowledge of God is hidden from them. That scripture that I read this morning out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 and 5, it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. They're the pulling down of strongholds. Then it says casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What are these what are these traditional doctrines doing? They exalt themselves. The Trinity is an exalted doctrine that is changing the very plan and purpose of God. And you know what? Lest we get too irate or whatever over it, we got to be really careful. See, the devil is a great deceiver, so that what he wants to do is to hide the true knowledge of God from men. So what has happened is, see, it's a scripture that's up on the wall behind me, and there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You know what? That is a a major, major, major thing that we need to know. We need to believe that and know that. And so he works to hide that knowledge from people. See, God wants us to know him his way and not through the pathetic attempts of men. However, if God had not supernaturally pointed us towards his word alone as the only source so as to find God and truth, we might still be like a lot of the other people in their private interpretations. See, we were caught up with them the same as everybody else. And so, which means that God has blessed us and others by putting us out of the false inherited doctrines that are devastating the churches. Now, they might not be too excited about it because people buy into it and they believe it. They believe these things. If and since, in order to have eternal life, we must accurately know the only true God, is that what Jesus said? This is life eternal. Does it matter? Well, you know what? People read it, they say, well, I don't know that it's that big of an issue. It is a big issue. I don't know why it's a big issue, because it repeatedly says it over and over and over and over. And so, in order to have eternal life, we must accurately know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Now, in Daniel it says, and they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Does it matter? But the doctrine that men are taught prevents these things from taking place. Would it not be better to come out from that thing for the sake of our souls? Would it be better? And I was thinking about it this morning. You remember what the apostles, the early apostles, told the Jews? They said, you tell us. Well, is it better to listen to you or to listen to God? And, of course, they thought we'd listen to them. They were listening to God, see? And so, Lot thought that he could pitch his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah and not be affected by their way of life. It's like, well, I can go to, you know, I remember somebody used to tell me you can eat the fish and still spit out the bones. But you know what? You only spit them out so long before you start swallowing them. And, you know, but Sodom and Gomorrah slowly built around Lot. You follow what I'm saying? Oh, we can be here. We can fellowship. We can whatever else, but we won't buy into what they teach. And so, and it tells us that he was a preacher of righteousness, so he preached against their evil deeds, and yet there came a point when God said, this is enough, and so we're going to destroy that whole conglomeration. And so Abraham bargained with the Lord about, he says, would you destroy it for 50 righteous? He thought there has to be 50. And God says, for 50, I'll save it. And he said, well, what about 30? And he had him down to, what, 10? And God says, if I can find 10 righteous, I won't destroy it. You know what? He couldn't. There weren't 10 righteous in it. And so the thing is, so will God, for the sake of a few, change what he's going to do? It appears so. And so it is for those who begin to see the false doctrines of whatever church they are part of, but for whatever reason, they try to learn to live with these doctrines until eventually they become swayed into believing that black is white and it's not a big issue. Is that not what we have today? What's wrong with unity through diversity? Is truth an issue? Does it really matter? And you know what? After a while, it becomes an issue. It has become an issue with me. And so, there are a lot of people who do not believe in the Trinity, and yet for convenience sake, go to a Trinity church. I know some personally. There are some that do not believe the way that the oneness believe and still go to their churches because of the music, because of the whatever. That's why I've done that myself. I visited 20 churches when I was baptized in Jesus' name. I went because it was convenient. I did that down in Kentucky. Well, the one who introduced the Trinity to the churches is still able to make some sort of sense out of it to people. See, in all of my years, I've never been more concerned about an election year than I have about this one. We are now down to two candidates, and I can feel end-time events, no matter who gets elected, it's not going to matter. But, lest we get overly concerned, God puts in office who he wants, and he removes those who he does not want. Is that not what the Bible says? And so, because America has openly embraced things that God hates, God may be putting the one in office that will totally destroy this country, or he's done things like that in years past in other countries, and according to the Bible times, when a nation will openly abort unborn infants. And, I don't know about one of the candidates, is not presidential, but one of the other candidates, and they said he has voted for partial birth abortion like 7 or 8 times over the years. And I'm thinking, is that the truth? See, you don't, just because they say something, you don't know that they lie about each other and they lie about themselves. And when people promote gay lifestyles, even within the so-called Christian churches, then we can be sure that the righteous judge of all creation, the one who thought all of the things up that exist and then created them, will pass judgment of some kind upon us. He's going to do it. If he's a righteous judge, he will do it. And so, see, as if the ungodly homosexual lifestyles was within a nation is not bad enough, then they take the life of unborn babies. I thought that has got to be the lowest of anything ever. What is worse than that? Or that a woman would even allow it to happen. But people are deceived. So they do it, and that's the way it takes place. And so, anyway, I wonder how many women live in torment because they have had unborn babies aborted. How many? I don't know. I don't even know who has it, who hasn't. But I bet there's a lot of inner torment. Somehow, by the mercy of God, I have begun to, in a small measure, grasp the nature, maybe, or the makeup of God. I'm not even sure how to say that. What do I know about God? I'm starting to tremble at the word. I'm starting to be fearful. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Is that saying that maybe I'm getting somewhere because I'm afraid of him? I think it probably is. God was and is and always will be right. God was, he always was, and he always will be right. And in a matter of fact, he created right. That was what he did. We are the sheep of his pasture, the Bible says. We are like the flowers that fade and the grass that withers. And we are branches while Christ is the vine. Isn't that what it says in John 15? And Jesus said, and without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And so that without Christ, we are not able to do anything. And then John 15:4 says, which also means that God through Christ leads us and guides us into doing things in God's productive way. Is that not, it says that we will be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Is that not God? Lest we get this old Trinitarian concept, is it not that God leads and guides us through Christ? That God leads and guides us through the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. Wait a minute. Let's get this thing in perspective. There's one God. And God is one that sends his Spirit to do the work. Or however it works. We don't even understand what he's talking about. And so is it God wants us to work in productive ways. And so it is Christ in us, the hope of glory, as said Colossians 1:27, and yet we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and therefore temples of the Holy Spirit. Is that what it says? It tells us that in two different places. It's in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 6:19. In the same book, Paul says, don't you understand, don't you know that you are temples of the Holy Spirit? Is that not what Jesus was? But he had the Spirit without measure. And so when we make him God, we are doing something against the very nature of what God created. And that somehow, in John 17:21-23, we become one with both God and Christ, and are somehow within each other. Christ in me, Christ in you, Christ in God. You know what I mean? It's like it's a strange set, but it's somehow there's something that is not making sense to us as natural people. Abel did things God's way. Abel. And the first offerings that we see, and God blessed his offering, while Cain had his own theories, and God did not bless it. Is that kind of what we're beginning to understand from the scriptures? And so, most of mankind have always followed Cain's example, and that is why it says, few there be that find it. And in fact, we are right just now discovering what it is that is available to find. We're just beginning to get it. And we're not doing really good, but we're doing better than we were. Men follow after men. And church organizations, I mean, they follow after church organizations. And when, you have a Southern Baptist, when he goes to a different town to find a church, you know, what's he looking for? A Southern Baptist church. And UPC Pentecostal, when they go to another church or to another city, what are they looking for? Next, something that follows what they believe in. And so they're not going to learn. They're going to find what they're comfortable with. Are you following me? They want to find a church denomination that preaches what they want to hear. We've got it backwards, but we don't understand it. You know, we're starting to, but people in general don't understand it. And so in 2 Timothy 2:22, we are told to follow after righteousness, faith, and charity, and peace, and to follow them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's what we're to look for. Let's try it again. We go to a city, are we to look for a church that believes what we believe? Or do we do what it says in 2 Timothy? To follow after righteousness, look for righteousness, for faith, for charity, for peace, and be with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, which makes a vast majority of politicians questionable. You know, that's not what they're promoting. It's like, I will make you happy. You know, Trump in his political thing. It's like, restore America back to where it was. Well, you know what? You can elect him and Hillary, and they can both be sitting side by side on whatever, and they're still not going to bring America back to what it used to be. You can only do what God has in mind. Anyway, I don't think that most churchgoers that I know have the 2 Timothy 2:22 agenda, but rather they look for a church that they agree with, which assumes that they are right. Are you following me? They go to look for something that they agree with because which makes the assumption that they are right. When Matthew 18:3 exhorts all men and says, except unless you get converted. And it's like, get over to what? Well, how about from men's ways to God's ways? Or from a form of godliness to the real thing? In each one approaches the things of God as open little children. Unless we do that, forget the kingdom. Doesn't say that because if you don't do this, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. That's what it says in Matthew 18:3. See, because You are trapped in a kingdom that belongs to the devil. And I hate to say it, but most of the churches, have, the way they're set up, they're demonic kingdoms. And this, the Trinitarian doctrine did not originate out of the Bible. It came from some other source. And so if I can read 1 John 4 accurately, if I'm reading it right, and I think I am, it says whatever spirit confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Does that matter? Does it matter? It says that spirit is of God. And if they confess any other thing, it is not from God. And that is the spirit of the Antichrist, which tells me something. That was introduced by the enemy 200 years after Christ. And so, anyway, the Word of God is the thoughts and the ways of God that are higher than men's thoughts and men's ways. Now, you know what? It took me a while to get that. No wonder God says that He looked to those that tremble at His Word. In that Word, carefully concealed, which takes the Holy Spirit to reveal, are the thoughts and the ways of God. That's how God thinks. This is how He wants us to think. This is what He wants us to do. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's concealed in that Word. And no wonder He wants us to take it in day and night. No wonder blessed is the man whose delight is in the Word of God. Not a delight, His delight. His chief delight is in the Word of God. And he meditates on that Word day and night. No wonder God blesses that person. And so, whenever men critique God's Word, rather than reading and hearing and believing it, it shows unbelief in the words that God gave us for eternal life. You remember what Jesus asked Peter, or asked the disciples? He said, are you going to go away too? And Peter said, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Well, you know what? That's the truth. But we're beginning to understand it. Once the devil can get men to doubt in any way the authority of God's holy word, and do we have doubt today? Is there doubt? And then demonic spirits come in like they did with Eve and mess up men's minds until men have no standard. Now, you know what I think? For what it's worth, I think that in the Garden of Eden, once Adam and Eve had eaten of that fruit and listened to the devil, I think demon spirits entered in immediately. The next thing you know, they're trying to hide from God. They had open communion with God. They cover their nakedness. God says, who told you that you were naked? And so, since Adam and Eve, demon spirits have had free reign, and they've come into us like we saw in Deliverance back in 82. I mean, I was dumbfounded. We were the ones that needed deliverance. I thought God was setting us up to deliver the city. You know, like a dummy. And so anyway, demon spirits come in and they mess up people's minds until men have no standards. Is that not what is happening? It requires a receiving of God's word openly in order to develop the faith that makes God and the things of God's kingdom a reality. I want the reality. I want the truth. In James 4:7, we are told to submit to God. You know what? We need to stop right at that point. Submit to God. What does that mean? Sit in the corner and meditate on something and we're not even sure what we're meditating on? Or is there something that God wants us to submit to? If I say, you know, go do this, or if you're working on a job and the boss says, go do this, he doesn't just make a bunch of gestures, or you don't read his mind. What do? You do what he said. And so if you submit to God, don't you do what God said? Well, the first thing is, we've got to believe that this is God's word. So we go by what this says. Well, you know what? I have come to this realization. It is, and I keep saying it, this is God's word. Why is it God's word? If all we got to do is listen to the scriptures and believe the scriptures and we understand it is God's word. God spoke to the the former fathers through the prophets. He has spoken to us through His Son. Is it His Word? Is God over it all? Is God in charge? Did God do all of these things? Yes, He did. It requires a receiving of God's Word openly in order to develop the faith that makes God and the things of God's kingdom a reality. It's like, why did God say, blessed is the man who meditates upon this word day and night? Well, I can say right now because of the life-changing effect it has on us. My life is totally transformed. Joanne's life is transformed. You guys, your life are transformed. You're not the same. And what are you going to become? You know, only God knows. And it's not up to me. I can't decide that, and you can't even decide it for yourself. You submit to God, and you keep on listening to His Word. And like I said earlier, you know, the listening to God's Word on a nonstop basis is a evidence of faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word, but by listening to it also is the evidence of faith. Why would you listen to a book that was written 5,000 years ago? Some of it, or 2,000 years ago. Why don't you listen to something up to date? You know what I mean? Read materials that are something different to that. And so, we have to decide. See, we can only submit to a voice or the words of somebody. You follow what I'm saying? Submit to God. To what? What am I supposed to submit to? Something He told us. But what did He say? How did He say it? When did He say it? He said it through the Bible. But we have to believe that this is God's Word in order to submit to it. And most people will submit to the voice or words that come from flesh and blood. You know, like from the Pope or some influential man with enticing words of men's wisdom in a church setting somewhere. And as such, that is how and why we have today's I. Heinz 57 collection of church organizations. Isn't that what it is? You know, I'm not so sure that the younger people understand what the Heinz 57 thing is, but most of us do. See, great men rise up and say, I have the words of God for this hour. And I know people that are all caught up with the prophets, you know, these prophets of this last hour. And here's the problem we have with the prophets. If we believe the prophet, then we think that they actually do have God's word for this hour. And which means what? It means that God has changed some of these former things to fit what we are hearing now. Are you following me? And I'm saying that is not the truth. We have no, God has not set up any prophets since the first church, and never ever has a prophet ever been set up that changed the words of Christ. Whatever He said is the final say. We might have a prophet that says, you know, gives us some insight into something coming, but we have a lot of churchgoers in this hour that are going to vote for Trump because they believe that he is going to provide a better American environment. Well, I think that, you know, that it ain't going to happen. Neither him or Hillary is going to do it. Nobody's going to do it. And so many people who do not have the proper relationship with God's Word for any hour will buy into what they say, hook, line, and deception. However, there always have been, always will be, those that by God's grace hear the Word of God as always being up to date and will go by what it says rather than what men have to say. I think that what has happened to us is a miracle. I think that what has happened to me is a miracle. It's not just some little incidental thing. It's a miracle. God has caused me to see this Bible for what it is. It is an eternal substance. But the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. This says, let me know things in the future. It's let me know things in the past and in the present. The Word of God is up to date always, at any hour. Until I heard a voice, I never ever realized that I basically went by what influential men told me to do. I went by what Don Burnett had to say. I went by what other ones, because don't you go by the pastor? Don't you go by those who are in charge? Doesn't it say to submit to those that have the rule over you? And when the voice said, you have to look for me where I am, suddenly, you the same way, I was made to realize that there are a lot of places where men look where God is not. See, that was a big part of what I heard. If I have to look for him where he is, that means there are a lot of places where he isn't. And then the Word of God, plus common sense, eliminated all kinds of places where I used to have my trust. It was no longer the church. It was in God's Word that I trust. And of course, almost all of the doctrinally divided churches became off limits on my quest to find and know God. I'm not interested in what they have to say. I'm interested in this book that has it's always up-to-date information that God wants me to know. And there are form of godliness churches that in places, and you're not going to find God in those things. And of course, submit to God, which means I have to understand what I am expected to submit to. And then as I begin to submit to the Word of God day and night, I began to realize how many churchgoers submit to God's Word in expression only. Of course we go by the Word of God. We carry it and we read it all the time. I'm saying, don't really. That's an expression only. Remember, we used to hear years ago, we used to hear this expression, I believe the Word of God from kibber to kibber. It was an old Pentecostal slogan, kibber to kibber. I don't know why they said kibber, but from cover to cover. We believe it from everything that's in the Bible. And I realized they don't. Because we are taught these things and that's why we have these, people say, amen, I believe it, I agree. They agree with what they believe. And when I was in a church setting, it was divided into three groups, the church. And I was there for a number of years. And each one of these groups believed something different than what was being taught. And I asked the pastor one day, I said, well, you should confront them. Because some of these people are totally against what he preaches. And he made this statement, and you've heard me say this before, I'll say it again. He said, their money is good as anybody else's. And I thought, is God going to bless them? If that's the foundation for what they go by? They're being financially supported, so don't touch them. I'm saying, I don't think so. I begin to realize how many churchgoers, and read God's word, and then go by their inherited doctrines anyway. See, we have nothing within the scriptures that support today's unscriptural Trinity, and yet, literally, millions of people have been convinced by deceived men that God's word supports it. I can't find anything in the Word of God to support it. I understand Tertullian. Of course, you can't prove it from the scriptures. You go crazy if you try. But you have to believe it. And so now you have to believe something outside of God's word in order to support it. And I am sure that they came up with prophets over the years that have supported the Trinity. I never tried to even question any of today's Godhead doctrines until I heard this voice 17 years ago. I never questioned them. Some believe that Jesus is both God and man. Some believe that he's that he is a second member of the Godhead, and some believe it. I never questioned it. I never worried about it. It wasn't an issue. Until one day, as I listened to the scriptures, God's word made it an issue. Do you know what I'm saying? And even then, it was not a sudden thing, but rather I slowly began to believe God's word as the truth. And then I saw the overwhelming weight within the scriptures that opposed these old line theories. It takes time. Is that why God wants us to read it and meditate upon it day and night? It takes time for the thing to register. I have no doubt as to where some of these things have come from, but it puzzled me how myself and so many others could buy into some things that had little, if any, scriptural support. How did I ever buy into it? I'm smarter than that, wouldn't you think? However, the great deceiver is a master at changing God's word within the minds of men. Plus, he is a lot smarter and more powerful than this helpless creature that we thought we could, you know, we thought we could put him in a box. Remember when Worley was here and we put the devil in a box and shipped him off somewhere, and it's like, and oh, we were having fun. And in the past few weeks, I've been getting a lot greater look at the awesomeness of God. Somehow, I don't know if God is just putting it in me, or if the intake of God's word is creating this thing, or how do I know? But anyway, God is creating something within me that I never knew I could ever have. He's creating something in me. And I have to say, it's through the creative nature and creative power of God. And even though I am not there as yet, none of us are there, I can see the day when my total purpose in life will be to present God's real kingdom to people. I can see it coming. And we talk about it. We say, well, we're not doing what we should be doing as yet. Of course we're not. Because we haven't been sent as yet. When God sends us, are we going to go? You know what? We are. When God says, Ken, I want you to do this, you're going to do it. When you know that God's sending you, Corky, when you know it, you're going to do it. And see, we are told that in the last days, that evil men, this is in 2 Timothy 3:13, that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Is there a chance that we see any of that? Or don't we know? I mean, they're going to greatly multiply. And they're going to be not only deceiving, but they're going to be being deceived themselves. And in chapter 3, verse 8, we are told that some will resist the truth, which is found where? How about in God's word? They're going to resist God's word. Some are going to do it, it says. And in verse 7, it says that they're going to be ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? They're not hearing the truth. What they're learning is not truth. You follow what I'm saying? So how can you learn the truth if you don't hear it? And why? Because private interpretations will be taught as the truth. And in church after church, until men get farther and farther from God's truth, see, God's word was given to us so as to meditate upon it day and night, or to take it in and believe it, and be changed by it. And when men believe that they are intellectual and some kind of an intellectual match for God's eternal word, then they have major problems. In Matthew 5:18, it tells us that not even one jot or tittle shall ever pass from the law. And I don't mean the New Testament. I'm talking about the Old Testament law. And then what about, if that's the case, if not one jot or tittle will pass from the law till all things be fulfilled, what about the words of God through Christ? You know, Hebrews 2:3 tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How are we going to escape? How valuable is it what God has spoken to us through Christ? See, the law of Moses, which is unchangeable, was set aside. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It was just set aside. It wasn't necessary. It replaced by the words of, that God spoke to all men through Christ. And because when Christ came, there was not any reason for the law. He fulfilled the law. Faith replaced the entire law. And what if some rejected it? It is still the perfect word of the Creator, and as such, to as many as willingly received and believed what God said through Christ, to those God gives the power to become the sons of God. Isn't that what it says in John 1:12? To as many as received him. It's in verse 11 it says, he came unto his own and they received him not, or they didn't believe him. But to as many as did believe him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. I'm not sure that when it says in John 1:11 that they received him, it actually is saying they did not believe him. Like they did not believe the Old Testament prophets. I mean, it's kind of the same thing. You know, they didn't believe what the Old Testament prophets were saying. And so they killed them. Now, I don't understand why some read God's word and believe it, and while the vast majority find excuses to change it and not believe it. I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense. Well, it doesn't make sense now, especially. Or why God calls many, but only he chooses a few. However, God created all things, and therefore he knows all things, and is the only righteous judge, and therefore whatever God does is right. Whatever he does is right. I've said that about 3 or 4 times. You know why I said it? Because it's starting to dawn on me. I'm saying it because it's starting to affect me. I'm starting to understand it. As such, when the fullness of whatever time comes and men do what God has set up by foreknowledge, whether they know it or not, or believe it or not, that's what happens. God knows exactly what Keith Gunn is going to do. And I think that is why he has had mercy on me. He knows what you're going to do. What you're going to allow him to do through you. Do you follow me? He knows that. And so we look at it and we think, well, I'm a pea in a pod. You know, I'm just one little part of this big puzzle. What about me? It doesn't matter. And so God will make sure, whether men vote or not, to have the right one in office so as to accomplish his perfect will. And men, myself included, are concerned about who wins. It's like, what difference does it make? The bottom line is that if God supernaturally gives us revelation and understanding, then and then only do we get it. See, it has to come from God. If God gives us understanding, we get it. However, except and unless God allows us to see, we see through the eyes of a world that is in darkness. So how do we see? Through the eyes of darkness, of the world? And so because the world is sure that it is able to see, it insists on teaching other people to see what they think that they see. And I've had some good talks with Dubnik about this because he's very intelligent in school. And yet, I said, what are you going to do in college? You know, he may hear this, I don't know, but what are you going to do? Now that you know and have been listening to the scriptures for all of these years, day and, you know, all night long and as much in the daytime as you can, what are you going to do when you go to college? And he said, the first thing I'm going to look for, he says that usually the dorms have two people in them, is I'm going to look for somebody that's a Christian. And then I'm going to tell them that I listen to the scriptures. And he says, I don't think they'll mind if they're a Christian. You know, what's the big issue? And so anyway, pray for Dominic. And so like, because the world is so sure that it is able to see, they teach what they think that they see. And so like the Pharisees in John 9:41, and because you are so sure that you see, your sin remains, Jesus said. Because you are so sure. So that is why Jesus told us that unless we are allow God to convert us and be approach the Bible, how about the Bible? As hungry little children, the kingdom of God is out of our reach. We are told that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. We are told that. Let me say something else in this respect. Only the fool also says within himself that the Bible is not a work of someone other than what men are familiar with. There is no possible way that you can read the Bible and say that it is not a supernatural expression of somebody who is not like us, who is greater than we are. And that is why it has such a life-changing effect on those who believe it and receive it, while others are at a loss as to what to do with it. What do you do with it? See, God told us that His Word will never return void, and that means empty. It will always do what God sends it forth to do. So it will always do something. It will convict people, or it will condemn them, maybe. Either convicts or condemns or judges, but God's Word never leaves someone once they read it. This hit me. It never returns void. Once people read God's Word, they're stuck with it. That's why you hear, you know, I've watched people on television, and I maybe shouldn't have been watching them, but I've watched some, and they've made these references to the Bible, and I'm thinking, how many of these people on TV actually know portions of God's Word? And why did they know it? Do it? Why do they know it? I'll say that right here. They're obviously not Christians, and it is amazing at the number of scriptures that they know. Are you aware of what I'm saying? They don't speak like you know you would think of as Christians or anything. God tells us that in the day or the time frame that we seek after God with all of our hearts, we will find Him. And we say, we look at each other, and we're right now, and you're looking at me, and I'm looking at you, and we're thinking, have we done that? Have we sought after God with all of our hearts? And I'm saying, there's a God who knows the hearts. He knows what's in us, and He knows what's in the future. And so lest we get condemned or get frustrated or get whatever because we think that we're just not going to make it, God has a way of causing us to make it if He sees something in there that's workable. Doesn't He? My question would be, is that easy or is that hard to seek after God with all of our hearts? And especially since many are called, but out of that group, only a few will ever be chosen, that will ever find it. See, there's a commitment that God requires that only a few will ever make. I think we've already made that. And yet, if men will allow God to give them a love for the truth and allow God to lead and guide them by His Spirit, then God will make up for their weaknesses. And that, is that what you ask? That's what I ask Him. I say, Lord, make up for my weaknesses. If a smoking flax He won't quench, a bent reed He won't break, won't He take a heart, if He sees a heart in us that wants the truth and wants His Word and wants righteousness, won't He take that and develop it into what He wants it to be? It's God who does it. It's not us. In Matthew 13:41, we find a one-of-a-kind type of scripture. It's only found in that verse. We are told here that the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. And I'm thinking, they're going to gather it out of his kingdom? I thought once you're in the kingdom, you got, you know, social, or you got eternal security. You mean people who are once a part of the kingdom? Would that be maybe the Matthew 7 people? Who said, Lord, we healed the sick, we cast out devils, we spoke in tongues, we did all of these things that are listed. And he said, depart from me, you are workers of iniquity. And then he says, in there it says, and I never knew you. And I thought, isn't there some time that he knew them? If they were called, I mean, weren't they part of it at some point? How about the one that came in without a wedding garment on? Maybe they were ones who never worked out their salvation with fear and trembling. Is that a good possibility? Anyway, God's perfect will be done. Whether we pray it or not, but I think that we pray it for our sakes. You know what I mean, what I'm saying? Anyway, God bless you.